side. Ideals I think are right, and I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country. There's room enough here for science to live, and there's room enough here for religion to forgive and try to understand all the people of this land. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, by far. This is our country.
Next, Amy Reynolds shares some tips, hints, experiences, and stories on simple country living, on Living Way Out Here.
Watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see living a simple life.
And welcome to the sewing bench.
What?
The sewing bench.
The sewing bench? Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, sorry for being on so blasted late now. Had a little bit of a mix-up this evening, but Cope and I are here together. We're probably going to be doing a show together tonight. And we'll see how that goes. But probably a lot like Laurel and Hardy or... But who knows?
Abbott and Costello?
Yeah, one of those.
Mutt and Jeff?
Yeah, that's more like it. All right, well, today is Tuesday, March the 10th. And I hope you guys all celebrated your holiday today. Remember, it's the National Day of Awesomeness today.
I celebrate it every day.
And it's, so I hope you did something awesome today, just so you could celebrate. All right. Okay, C7 says, woohoo, the sewing bench. Yay. Okay. Hi, everyone.
That's C7 back. What happened to the 41 long slide or whatever it was?
Yeah. You keep changing your name, I think.
You hiding from somebody or what?
Trying to keep people guessing, I guess.
Ex-wife will never look for you on the sewing bench. All right, well, Cat, leave me alone. I'm eating. That's why I sound bad. Amy made the most absolutely amazingly awesome, freaking amazing,
wow,
really good. And I don't know what you call it. So you tell everybody. I'm doing the way to eat. Go ahead.
It is a white chicken chili soup.
Mm-mm.
That is what he's eating right now. I haven't had any yet, so I will do that after my show.
You're not going to get any either because I'm eating it.
But anyway, in fact, I will give you this recipe, and it's kind of a lot of ingredients, but I'll give you the recipe on the show. And I don't want to say it. Maybe I'll even put it on my blog. That probably I have to scrape the spider webs, the cobwebs off of it first. But anyway.
I see that happening.
Yeah. Iowa Cat said she heard you cough, so she knows you're doing more than just eating.
Choked on a chili seed. Leave me alone.
A chili seed? Chili seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ever choked on a chili seed before?
Never. Nope.
That's what I did a while ago. Mm.
Yeah, as far as at risk, I will give you the recipe. It is excellent. It's really, really good. So, but anyway.
She's going to have to give it to you in a minute. She's going to run over the house and get me another bowl of it here in a minute.
Anyway, the reason to celebrate tomorrow, you ready? Tomorrow is Oatmeal Nut Waffles Day. Now, how about that? So what you're going to do,
you know, I think what we need to do is have a white chicken chili, whatever this stuff is, day.
It is. It's white chicken chili soup.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's come up with a day.
Okay. Anyway. And it's, anyway, tomorrow is Oatmeal Nut Waffles Day, so what you're going to do is you're going to just make some waffles how you normally make them. You're going to throw in a handful of oatmeal, and you're going to throw in a handful of walnuts, pecans, maybe slivered almonds, something like that. Make your waffles, cover them up with peanut butter and syrup, and enjoy. That sounds like really good.
And soak them in white chicken chili soup.
Beachy Basic, I'm wondering if we have the same recipe. Mine's called white chicken chili soup. I don't know why it's chili and soup together. It's kind of weird, but yours white chicken chili. It might be the same thing. But anyway, we will compare recipes when I put this recipe. I'll tell it to you a little bit later on in the show. All right, let's go ahead and do our birthday.
I won't because I'm eating.
We're going to do our birthdays, so...
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me get caught up here. Okay, are you ready?
Yep. Are you?
I'm eating. Dang, leave me alone, woman.
March 10th, if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you. You have some pretty good birthdays today, I think. All right. Well, B2 Basic, you don't have to put walnuts in. You put any kind of nuts, or you just cannot do. You just nut intolerant. And
everybody loves a nut. The whole world loves a weirdo. You heard that song?
No. I think I just did. All right. First birthday today. He was born in 1927. His name is Robert Kearns. And
man, that was good.
He invented the intermittent windshield wiper. Don't we love this man? I love the intermittent windshield wiper thing. I think that is the greatest invention.
When did he invent them?
He was born in 1927, so I don't know when he invented them. But he, I guess he I think it was Ford. I don't have the story in front of me. Ford and Chrysler, I think, both stole his idea. He sued both of them. One, because that was his deal. And now every single car on the road, newer cars, have, well, starting probably in the 80s, 70s, I don't know. But have
probably
these,
80s.
Probably, yeah. Have the intermittent windshield wipers. I think that's a great... All hail to Robert Kearns, because I think that's a great invention.
I remember when I was the second time I went to work for Kenneth down in Texas, we had some kid riding with us. No, I know it wasn't even... It was what we call nowadays illegals. We call them wetbacks in those days. I can't do that anymore.
Okay.
And we've been driving along, and... And Kenneth's intermittent wiper thing sprinkler thingy was screwed up.
Okay.
And every once in a while, the wipers just come on out of the clear blue sky. And we finally got him convinced that the moisture sensor was bad on it.
That's a good one. All right, another birthday
Wait,
today.
Don't get in a hurry. I think we may have done a... Okay, so far it looks... Maybe, I don't know.
What's happening?
Don't do any music just yet. We may have a plug-in that's not plugging in.
Okay, so don't
so
move.
Do something. Freeze. Do something besides music.
Music? Right. Let me tell you our Ripley's Believe It or Not. How's that?
I don't have a song for that.
Mm-mm. We'll finish our birthdays in a minute. The squirrel has to catch up with us, I guess. Anyway, okay, did you get... Listen to this. Any of you out there that wear neckties?
Nope.
I did not know this, but there are 177,147 ways to tie a tie. Now, I don't know who sat around and thought about that and counted them as they did it, but...
Somebody was in jail.
177,147 ways to tie a tie.
How do I tie thee? Let me count the ways.
177,147.
Oh, you already did. You already counted them for me.
Yeah. I don't even know how to tie it once, so...
Me too. That's why I don't wear one.
You know what you might want to learn?
Why?
Well, because, you know...
No.
It might be... I don't know.
If I wear one at all, it'll be a clip-on.
A clip-on?
Uh-huh.
What are you, six?
Nope. But I'm not going to offer reins for somebody to grab me and jerk me around the parking lot.
Well, that's what you have a gun for. Don't let them get that close to you.
Well, if I just let them have the ties, I can just kick them in the butt when they fall down thinking I'm going to follow them. How about that?
What? I didn't get it. Stop.
Thank you.
You told me to not do birthdays yet because
I know, but we have to take it when we can get it.
Well, you need to let me know when you get it. No.
I did. I told you.
Anyway, I said this. Apparently, we are back at birthdays again.
Well, go ahead and finish your tie story or whatever it is.
It's Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, I believe it. If you said it, I believe it or not.
Do you believe it or not?
Yes.
It's going to be a night, I can tell. I can already tell it's going to be a night. All right. More Ripley's, believe it or not. There's a power plant. Listen, there's a power plant in China that burns piles of cash, not coal.
Cash?
Cash, to generate electricity.
That's what I'm talking about.
And today's smartphones, almost everyone has smartphones now, but today's smartphones contain more computer power than Apollo 11 did when it landed on the moon.
Hmm.
That's crazy. You think it's crazy? You're not even listening.
I am listening. It's crazy.
What did I say?
You said that's crazy.
No, before that, what did I say?
You said they have computers on the moon.
You know what? You need to start paying attention. That's not what I said.
Oh, you said everybody with a smartphone has enough power to run a rocket to the moon.
No, I didn't say that either. Wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you guys heard me. What's his name over here is not even paying attention to what I'm talking about. So, now, let's do birthdays.
Oh, are you ready now?
I'm ready now.
Now it's okay.
Yeah.
Now that it's your idea, it's okay.
Well, it's because it's my show, so there you go.
Right.
You have that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we already did the birthday song.
Oh, boy. Okay. Another birthday today. Carrie Underwood. She is having a birthday. And thank you, I have a cat. Yes. Try living with this person. Yes. You have no idea.
Yep. Nice try.
What?
Nice try.
Anyway, Carrie Underwood's having a birthday. How old do you think she is today?
You know what? I don't even care.
You don't care?
Uh-uh.
You love her.
Considerably.
Well, then, how come you don't care how old she is?
Because it doesn't matter.
What did you stop and eat something somewhere? What's in that soup?
I don't know, but it sure is good.
I have to recheck this ingredient list.
Yeah, he's just sitting there on that sack of seeds.
Wow. 32 years old today.
I was going to say 32.
She's an actress, songwriter, and a country singer. Actually, she was discovered on American Idol. Get this, her first three albums went multi-platinum. And I didn't know this either, but I just read this that just last month, just a couple weeks ago, she and her husband had a son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Isaiah.
Isaiah Underwood.
Well, no, her last, well.
Oh, yeah, she got married to somebody, I guess.
Yeah, she did.
Hopefully.
Yeah, her last name is Fisher, but I don't know if she changed, I'm sure she didn't change her name, but I don't know what the son's last name is. Anyway, do we have something from Carrie today?
Yeah, you want to hear it now? Finally.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey. Right now, he's probably up behind her with a few sticks, showing her how to shoot a combo.
A little lesson in vindictiveness there.
Is she the one that was on the... No, that was Kelly Clarkson that was on the Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show.
And Kelly Clarkson ain't.
I know, but is that the one that with Foxworthy?
Yeah.
That, okay. All right. Okay, another birthday today. Chuck Norris. Now, here you go. How old do you think Chuck Norris is today?
75.
He is 75, right on the nose.
You know, that's awesome, guys. There's only three real bad son of guns in the country, and I get Christmas cards from the other two every year, so I kind of keep up with...
Whoa!
I kind of keep up with, you know, with where everybody's at.
Whoa. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, Chuck Norris, having a birthday today. He is TV actor, martial arts expert, and in fact... He formed his own formation of martial arts. It is called...
Norris Kwon Do. No?
Chunk? No, Chun Kuk Do.
Okay, then.
Okay. And it's based on elements of Tang Soo Do and other combat styles. How about that? And I didn't know this, but as a young man, he fought martial arts legend Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1972 film Way of the Dragon.
Got his ass kicked, too.
And I bet he did. I bet everyone that fought Bruce Lee did.
Uh-huh.
Movie or not.
Chuck Norris was kind of a dork in that movie.
He wasn't much. All martial arts movies are dorky, I think.
I don't think so.
He was a dork. A good one.
I mean, besides for the Bruce, all Bruce Lee movies were.
Dorky or good?
Dorky. But
I haven't seen a good martial arts movie.
Chuck Norris was particularly, wasn't much.
Really?
In that show, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a blend film, played a very small part, and the last of it, he was laying on the ground, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, I'll probably didn't end well then. All right, another birthday today. Kenneth Jethro Burns. He's a country singer with Homer and Jethro.
I remember when I was a lad, what a fine baseball team we had. Folks would come from miles around to see us play. We played the Red Sox, beat their socks off. We played the Red Legs, beat their legs off. We played the Astros, but it rained that day. Daddy played first base,
Mama played second.
Brother and sister were the catcher and the pitcher. Shortstop was a good old boy named Sue. Dreamed of the home run hitting the guys out in the outfield shagging flies. Brothers Art and Bart and cousins Fargo too.
All right, now.
Is Jethro still alive?
No.
Well, I was going to say, because I listened to them when I was a way little kid. They were, I would assume, somewhere in their 20s, early to, you know, they might have been early, younger than 20, but they'd been making albums for, I've got 33. I think I have a 78 with Homer and Jethro on it. I know I have an old 33 and a third with them.
Wow.
With them on there, but I know all of Homer Jethro songs.
I'm a little bit confused.
Confucius.
Because on the chat we have C7 and G41 Longslide. I thought those were the same people.
You know, now I remember, I think there's another Chris. I think we are infested with Chris's. Tonight.
Chris's. Okay. Because yes, C7.
Now I think I remember who G41 is. It's not the other Chris, it's the other Chris.
Oh, that Chris.
Yes.
Oh, got it. All right, another birthday today. Alfred Peet. He is the founder of Peet's Coffee and Tea. How about that?
Never heard of.
What?
Peet's Coffee and Tea?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Starbucks thing, but they're usually in malls and.
Must be a California thing. They ain't never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
Nope.
I don't think it's only California.
So sorry.
I don't know. But anyway, all right. Another birthday today. Born in 1928, James Earl Ray.
Hey, we just celebrated James Earl Ray Day not too long ago, didn't we?
He was the assassin.
Oh, that one.
Of Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, so he's having a birthday today. Born on this day in 1940, Dean Torrance. He is with. He's a singer with Jan and Dean. They did surf music, and we asked Dean to come in tonight. So
I used to think Jan and Dean was a girl and a boy on account of Jan typically is a girl's name, but it's not because I know two guys now whose name is Jan.
That's
Jan,
right.
Jan Michael Vincent and and this dude.
A little lonely from Pasadena.
Okay, Minnie Minpin says that she's never heard of Alfred Peet either. With it's called Peet's Coffee and Tea. It's P-E-E-T. Wow. One P, two E's, and one T.
Yeah, that's P-E-E-T.
Peet.
But any relation to Peet's shoe dryers?
I have no idea what that is.
You never heard of Peet's shoe dryers? I thought everybody knew what Peet's shoe dryers were.
Never heard of it in my life, actually.
Huh.
All right, another birthday today. Last birthday, last music birthday. Tom Scholz. He's a guitarist and a keyboardist with Boston.
And you know what?
Hmm.
He's always late.
Did you not call him, ask him to come over?
It's as close as we can get right now. Hang on. It's gonna, wait. Here we go. I told you I had a little problem a while ago. You didn't believe it.
No. Looks like we're having a couple more people join us. You're probably looking for Cope, actually, and we got started late, so we're kind of doing a combined show.
But so, I'm here, so don't think your time was wasted, OPSEC. I don't know who you are or where you came from. But,
so the wasted time if it's just me? Is that what you just said?
No.
I just heard that. You know, you can't get out of that one, so you just jumped in, so you're done. So,
okay.
Just stop. All right. Okay, and the last birthday we have today, born in 1957. He looked a lot older than that, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a year younger than me. Yeah. No, he's a year, yeah, you're younger than me.
Born in 1957 on this day, and no longer living, we are happy to say, is... Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Osama, okay. Yeah. So today would have been his birthday. And so. All right, we have a couple things that happened this day in history. You guys, I'm looking at the chat, and you guys are talking about kilts and wearing kilts and all that kind of thing. And I have to tell you, we have some friends that have kilts.
And I keep them definitely at double arm's length.
You know what? They are awesome kilts. They are made by 5-Eleven. And they all showed up as one place we were one time. And they all had on their kilts. And I want one so bad. I think those are the neatest looking things. And all the pockets, I don't know if you guys know what 5-Eleven shirts are, but they have all kinds of pockets. That's the only shirts that Cope will wear. But... anyway, it's they're way neat. And anyway, just want to throw that in there. Okay, Cope said he'd never wear one though.
And Cope was right.
So
you can bet your bottom dollar you'll never catch my happy ass in a dress. And
it's not a dress; it's a kilt.
Whatever.
It's a kilt.
It's just a different way of saying it. It's still a dress. Tomato, tomato, whatever.
Kilt, dress,
yeah,
skirt.
Yeah, it's still the same thing.
Anyway, I like them. I think that, and I think guys look good in them. I think they look really good in them. I like them a lot. So, anyway, just saying.
Well, I'm sorry I'm going to disappoint you, but you're never going to find out.
Yakima Glock says this is a Cope and Amy variety hour. Yeah. All right, so things that happened this day in history, March the 10th, the year of 1775. This is when Daniel Boone began his exploration of Kentucky on this day. And in the year of 1862, the United States issued paper money. $5, $10, $20, $50.
You've already named off more than I got.
$100, $500 bill, and a $1,000 bill. And on this day in 1978, a show that I loved to watch, The Incredible Hulk, premiered on television. So there you have it. Okay, let me give you some stories. Are we doing a break or no break tonight?
We don't need no stinking break.
Iowa Cat says she wants to see you in a kilt and tights.
Sorry, sweetie. Ain't fixing to happen.
Are you sure?
That's right.
Might be a good look for you.
I'm thinking maybe not.
Boy, that'd be some really good barter material, though. You have a picture of that. That'd be kind of nice. all right. Let me tell you what happened in Nevada. Nope, it wasn't Nevada. It was here in Arizona today. I think it was today, I'm pretty sure. Hang on, my computer is really slow. So.
Sure, that's what everybody always says when they have a problem. They always say, oh, my computer's slow. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that's what they do.
Okay, now is it Casa Grande or Casa Grande in Arizona? How do you pronounce that?
Casa Grande.
It is?
If you're gonna
I've heard
say
people
like
say both, so I didn't know.
Well, it's kind of like Colorado or Montana or Nevada. They're all Spanish words. Nobody ever says them right.
Okay. All right. So this happened in Casa Grande, Arizona. Whereabouts is that?
It's down not too far from Tucson, down in the southern part of the state.
Okay. All right. Well, there was, I guess the police were chasing a car, and it was a white SUV. And as they were chasing this white SUV, bales of marijuana were being thrown out the window.
I saw that headline, but I didn't watch the video.
Yeah, so they were being thrown out the window, and there's a, I guess, let's see, it's during a high-speed chase. So this happened last week. And, so the police went back. This was on, let's see here, what highway? Okay, it says a chase spanned Interstates 8 and 10 near Casa Grande in south central Arizona and on several local roads. It ended when the SUV pulled off a two-lane road and stopped after driving over tire puncturing sticks. So they got them that way. But I guess the there's a dash cam on the police car that was chasing them. They said that it showed 21 bales of marijuana were thrown out this SUV window.
They just decided to bail, huh?
And onto the, you know, yeah. And this was actually March 4th is when this happened. Well, it said several bales broke apart as they bounced on the pavement. And then today, I guess the 21 bales were thrown out. They were able to recover 17 bales. They totaled 374 pounds of marijuana. But then they saw four or five vehicles stopped on the side of the road picking up the bales.
They did. I saw it on the news. Let's head out there.
So they don't have. They can't account for those. Those are gone.
Yep.
Four.
Party.
It says four or five vehicles came and picked up the other bales that were on the road and scooped up the bales that had broken open, and they just scooped all. So there's nothing. It looked like nothing happened out there. They cleaned that up. Like
I bet they did.
Yeah.
Ziva. Hey, I am secure in my manhood. I would wear your little pink sparkly tights with my kilt, except when you wear a kilt, you're not supposed to wear anything under them.
Well, no one knows. You can wear stuff under them.
Yeah, but if you're going to wear one, you're supposed to wear it right. Remember? It's supposed to be like tradition.
Well, that's probably if you're Scottish and you're not Scottish, so.
How do you know?
Well, because I know.
Actually, my family did come from Scotland.
So did mine. What if we're related?
Because.
Anyway, so back to the story. I guess two men have been arrested on suspicion of marijuana trafficking offenses and fleeing the police. They're saying that now. They're
one
not
Scotsman
saying.
Clad in kilt.
They're not saying that how these two stories are related. However, there was another chase. Now, this chase where they're throwing the bales of marijuana out the window, another chase where there was a pickup truck was stopped earlier on the same day, and nine illegal people were in this pickup truck, and that was turned over to the Border Patrol. And they're not saying, but they did say that the information from that truck is what led them to the finding the white SUV with the bales of marijuana in it. There's a connection there, but they're not letting that story go. So, anyway, there you go.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair. And one could tell by how he walked that he drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet. And he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring-ding-diddle-diddle-i-di-o, ring-di-diddle-i-o. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time, two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, "See yon sleeping Scotsman, so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt." Ring ding diddle 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 yo, ring da diddle yo. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be. Lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see. And there, behold, for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle 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 yo, ring da diddle yo, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, "We must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along." As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring-ding diddle diddle adio, ring-da-diddle-i-o. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, "Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize." Ring ding diddle diddle adio, ring da diddle adio. Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize.
Maybe I will wear a kilt.
All right. Now, here's a neat story. This is a good story. I like this story. This is it comes out of Indiana. And there's a farmer who, he said, "You know what? I know I had a cow that had a calf." So he went out looking for this cow. And if I can get my story to arrive here, that'd be a little bit awesome. Here it comes. All right, so anyway, he's from central Indiana, Rossville, Indiana. And he told, I guess, the newspaper or the news or somebody, he says, "You know, I think one of my cows had a calf." And so he went out looking for it, and sure enough, there was this little calf that was laying in a snowdrift, freezing, shivering. It was actually shivering, and it was in a snowbank. And so this is a third-generation farmer. He said he decided the quickest way to warm up the calf, which he named Leroy, cute, would be to use his hot tub. So this man, he said he was fully dressed. He held Leroy up so he didn't drown, and he jumped into the hot tub. And he said, "We sat there until I figured he was probably warm enough. I brought him inside the house, and I wrapped him in electric blankets, get him nice and warm." And he said, "I'm happy to say that Leroy has started nursing from his mother, and he is recovering and doing quite well."
See that. You know what they'd have charged him with if anybody caught him jumping in a hot tub with a calf?
What's his own hot tub?
It was his own calf, too.
Okay, so where are you going with that?
I don't know. These days you have to be careful.
Anyway, he said that he was just really glad that Leroy made it, and that all is well there. So I think that's a neat story. I like it. All right, here's another story. There's this woman. This is in Florida. Green Acres, Florida. I didn't know it was at Green Acres. How about that? Anyway, she's 30.
Place to be.
She's 32 years old. Well, and she got naked.
In the hot tub.
Completely naked.
Okay. Liking this story so far.
I knew it got your attention. All of a sudden, you're like listening.
Ding, ding.
See, that is amazing to me. Anyway, so she got completely naked and sat outside a Dunkin' Donuts place in Florida. People were coming by, "What are you doing?" And they even offered to give her clothing, and she wouldn't take the clothing. And she said, well, no, I'm doing this on a dare. I was dared that I would not sit outside Dunkin' Donuts completely naked, so I'm doing it. They didn't say who dared her, but, of course, the police were called, and actually it was a, she's not giving the names of the people, but it was a part of a pledge to a dance troupe. They said, well, you know what, you can be in our little club if you'll get completely naked and sit outside Dunkin' Donuts.
Hell yeah, I bet you'd get about near any club if you do that.
She was offered clothes several times, but she refused every single time. So, nope, I can't do this. I have to do that. Well, the police arrived, and, of course, then she was all apologetic. I'm really sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And so,
so now she got in the Gray Bar Club.
Yeah. And so now she's been charged with them, indecent exposure, and she has been released. But they're saying, you know what, maybe she shouldn't be doing these kind of dares anymore. There's people around and, you know, that kind of thing. So, kind of an idiot.
Busiest day ever at Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. This would be too basic.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet they probably made a lot of money that day. I'm thinking. All right.
Wonder what the tips were like.
Probably good. This is another, and I don't know, you know.
Yeah, Roger, you picked up on that, huh? Yeah, I wondered about that myself.
What?
Amy doesn't like Cope's hot tub jokes.
All right, this also comes out of Florida. I don't understand what these people are going to do. However, thieves in Florida, they made off with a refrigerated tractor trailer filled with $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
Hey, now if I was going to steal a tractor and trailer, I'll tell you, that would be the thing to do.
It was on its way to a, it's called Hungry Howie's Pizza Distribution Center. And what had happened, I guess they were having problems with this rig. So the driver and his girlfriend left the trailer at a truck stop Saturday evening, because a guy was working on it. They were having some type of a mechanic check it, see what's going on with it. Well, they came back on Sunday to get it, and it was gone. And also, the hauler. There's also a hauler missing from this truck stop that was also gone, stolen.
So the hauler.
They're thinking, yeah, because this was just a trailer. So this was the truck, the rig. So someone took the truck, hooked it up to the trailer, and took off because they weren't together. Okay, here. Tractor-trailer.
So they're not related.
Tractor-trailer, okay. There's problems with the tractor, so they bring it to, the trailer, so they bring it to a truck stop. The guy's checking it. It's a refrigerated thing. Maybe there's a problem with the refrigeration or something. I don't know. So they unhook the trailer. And the driver and his girlfriend, I guess, go someplace else with the truck. They
hot tub, probably.
Probably, yeah, probably. They come back. This happens Saturday night. They come back Sunday with their truck to pick up the trailer. The trailer is gone, and another truck that would haul the trailer is also gone. $85,000 worth of mozzarella cheese. What are you going to do with that?
Make the biggest pizza in the whole world.
Probably. But anyway, so they still haven't found it. The trailer is valued at $62,000, and it's filled with $85,000 worth of mozzarella cheese. That's a lot of cheese.
You know, C7 just reminded me, and you were with me the first time I mentioned this. What's talked that? About people stealing food trucks.
Oh, yeah.
And C7 just brought you were with me when we did that show out of a motel room in Silver City down there when we went to that gun show. And that's when that who is that trucking outfit that trucks food starts with an S?
Cisco,
yeah. Cisco truck was stolen.
Yeah.
And there's been several others since then. And C7 dismember, yep, been staying for years that this was going to happen. Of course, I don't know if they knew there was cheese in it or not.
That's what I'm wondering, because remember that race car trailer that was stolen the other day, and they didn't know it had a race car in it and all the engine and all that thing, but who knows. All right.
Let's steal this. We have to steal it and see what's in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Steal it first, and then, yeah, idiot. Anyway, all right. There is a, this is a story that comes out of Oceanside, California. And we did a story about this, well, kind of similar to this. I think it was also in California, but this is a new one. This happened yesterday in Southern California. Fire crews were called to a school in San Diego? Let's see. I don't know if it was San Diego. But anyway, there's a school they were called to. Because there's a dog on the playground, a 12-year-old Rhodesian Ridgeback. He was out there on recess playing with the kids and everything. And, well, somehow he got himself stuck it was on Sunday, so it wasn't during school. So there was kids at the school playing and with this dog, and the dog got stuck between two storage containers at an elementary school, the Oceanside and Carlsbad firefighters had to come over there and figure out, well, how are we going to get this dog out? Because as he was trying to wiggle to get out, he would get stuck more and farther in. So they had to use the jaws of life to get this dog out. So I don't know, probably the storage container's not in very good shape about now.
Probably if they just used the jaws of life there between two of them, they probably just used it to spread the two apart a little bit. Probably just pushed them apart.
Probably. Anyway, the dog's name is Spike, and walked out on his own. It's completely fine, and everything is well and good. The owner was there, and so they're happy. So that's a good story. All right.
Wait.
Go ahead.
I got to go eat another bowl of chili.
Encourage everybody to get out and get vocal. We have not nearly enough people out there. Such a very small few of us that really go out and make any noise. Now, sometimes we'll get out when there's other people that do it, but a lot of us are unwilling to get out and do it on our own, you know, either as a small group or as individuals, because we just don't want to be singled out. We don't want to accept the fact that there might be, maybe, possibly, some small repercussions for doing this. If there's going to be repercussions, make sure that you're right about what you do, and repercussions be damned. Just deal with it. Life is pretty short, ladies and gentlemen. We have a finite amount of time here to enjoy our life on this earth. We have an eternity to live with what we did during this time that we were on this earth. Now, if you think about, let me see if we can put this in perspective here. Take a whole ball, a whole roll of brand new unopened roll of cotton string, and unroll that ball all the way out to the end, and then take a straight pin, or take your ink pen and make a little dot somewhere in the middle of that. That little dot represents the time that you're going to be on this earth. That whole roll of string, that little dot represents how long you're going to be here. And that string, all the rest of that, represents how long you're going to be somewhere else. And you're going to have that amount of time to think about how you conducted yourself during that finite time period. And if you look at it in that respect, you say, well, I don't want anybody to holler at me. I don't want anybody to get mad. I don't want it to affect my social life. I don't want to, the people at church to not sit by me because I've done this. Well, what matters is you're right. What matters is can you stand when this is over with, when your life here is done, can you stand upright with your shoulders back and your head high in front of your Heavenly Father and say, I did everything that I could do to save my country or to save my family, to spread the gospel, to do whatever it is that you did on this earth. I don't want to have to walk up there with shoulders slumped forward and head down and say, you know, I was just scared. I was just too lazy. I just didn't want my friends to think of me as a radical or something. I just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ain't gonna cut it. You've got a certain amount of time to make sure that your life is gonna be squared away when you leave here. Now this isn't a Sunday school class, but it's the way I look at how I conduct myself on this earth. Believe you me, in my past there's been some things I'm definitely gonna have to answer for. But from here on out, I'm gonna try to make up for some of those things and see if I can, redeem myself in front of my Redeemer and see if I can, live for eternity comfortably without worrying all that time about what I should have done or could have done. Now, what you should have done or could have done may not always be exactly what someone else thinks you should have done or could have done. It is not necessarily what matters, is what you believe in your heart. What you can, not looking past the fear or the inconvenience or the effort that you're going to have to put into it, the money that you may spend, looking past that, you know in your heart is right. No one can really believe in their heart that you could, that sitting back and watching somebody else do everything for your benefit is right. They may say, if you ask them or in their private conversation, they'll say, well, you know, somebody's got to do it. That's a problem I have. And anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time, I've said over the years many, many times, I hate it when somebody says somebody ought to do something. Who in the hell are you? How do you shave in the morning? How do you put on your makeup? How do you look in the mirror and nobody's there? Are you somebody? If you're somebody, then how about let's get off that ass and go out there and act like you're somebody. We are all somebodies, and you're gonna want to think you're somebody when you go up to stand before your Heavenly Father on Judgment Day. You're gonna sure want to think you're somebody. Well, now would be a good time to start proving that. Now would be a good time to start on that difficult journey. Now, nobody here wants to die. The question is, do we love our country and our family and our Creator enough to be willing to if we have to? If that's what it comes to help save everything, then we have to be willing to ask ourselves and answer honestly, are you willing to do that? Now, being willing to and wanting to are two totally different things. Being willing to do it makes you a very formidable foe, a very formidable enemy. Not wanting to do it, not wanting to die, makes you extremely effective. Formidable, fierce, but effective because we don't want to die. We're going to use everything in our power not to, but if we must, to further the cause, to be able to stand up and be proud of what we've done and respectful when that time comes, then it's just what we have to do, I reckon. And don't think that I haven't spent many, many, many hours pondering on this question. You know, there's people out there that says, I've got kids. I've got kids and I want to watch them finish growing up. I want to watch them get married and have kids. But in order for them to be able to do that in a free country, there may come a time when some of us might have to, well, there will come a time when some of us will have to put on our big boy panties and get out there and take the bull by the horns and make some gigantic effort to save this country.
Soldier rides away.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, light in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. And I've got a few things I want to say here before Amy's going to share a recipe with you. But I was listening to that. I did that a long, long time ago. And it reminds me of the issue that Sue ZB. Sue, I don't know if I know you or not. But nevertheless, you have proven to me with one statement up there that you are family. You belong with us. And that's what I was kind of saying on that deal I was just talking about there, and also something that I was talking about to a another guy today. We were talking about the upcoming fight. Few people, particularly in the patriot community and conservatives in general, for the most part, few of us don't believe that there's a fight coming. And there's a damn sight even fewer of them that really understand what this is going to entail. I have tried and tried and tried to convince people that it's not going to be... You know, if I tell you how it is. If you remember the movie... What was it? The Patriot with Mel Gibson? And it wasn't just that movie. Think back to our founding fathers. Think how many of them have, they walked away from their families because it had to be that way. Because they didn't have a choice. They can't stay at home and fight. They were trying to keep the fight from coming to where their families were. Now, right now, today, if you talk to the overwhelming majority of the people that want to call themselves patriots, they do not have that mindset, and it's not going to come to them anytime soon. They, you talk to most of them, and it's a, well, we got to do this, that, and the other. We got to do this for our families. You know what? What we got, what we're going to have to do, depending on the circumstances at the time, is you're going to have to make sure you've provided for your family as well as you could, and you're going to have to walk away, and you're going to have to come back when the fight's over. And it's a sad and miserable, heartbreaking thing to think about. But if you're going to be involved in this fight, you better damn well start thinking about it, because that's where it's going to go. I know a patriot right now who just did this a week ago. Not even a week ago. And we can all, every one of us, learn from that and see if we have the testicular fortitude to follow his lead. To follow their lead. There was more than one. And that was something that, so Sue, you talked about your uncle. Your uncle is, I don't know what you thought of him before this happened, but I don't think much of him now. If he wouldn't look at his niece and say, my God, what an awesome niece I have. Go girl, that's my niece right there. See her right there in that picture on that website, on that news article. That's my niece. Yeah, that's her. That's Sue. It's my niece. Uh-huh. Yeah, proud of her, too. And if he said that you're no longer in the family, I think you'd just go tell him to pound sand. That amazes me. And I'm proud of you that you've that you have the attitude that you do. So we've got a lot of this kind of stuff that we need to talk about. And I'm going to spend some more time on that a little bit later, just a damn little bit later, just as soon as Amy gets done with her recipe here, then we're going to talk about this some more. So, without further ado, green chili chicken stew. I mean, white chili, whatever in the hell it was.
Let me do it.
Yeah, won't you do it?
All right, now, I hope you guys have a paper and pencil or something. I'm going to say this. It's kind of, I think it'd be too long to put on the chat. But it's easy to go together. Really easy. There's a lot of ingredients.
It'll be on her blog tomorrow.
Thanks for that. That's really good of you.
I got to get you a little incentive there somehow or another.
There you go. Perfect. Anyway.
Your last entry on your blog was what, 4 years ago?
Probably. All right. White chicken chili soup is what this is. You have 2 boxes of chicken broth, 32 ounces each. 3 cans of cannellini beans.
Cannellini bean? What the heck is that?
A cannellini bean is a white kidney bean.
Why didn't they say that?
I don't know. And those cans are 16 ounces each. 2 cans of diced green chili, 4 ounces each. 1 28-ounce can of green enchilada sauce. I don't know if you guys are writing this down or not, so I don't know if I'm going too fast, too slow. I don't know what's going on.
I can copy it off your blog tomorrow.
Thank you. 2 15-ounce cans of corn, drained. 1 small red pepper diced. 1 small yellow pepper diced. And 1 small green pepper diced. 2 cups of chopped carrots. 1 cup of diced white onion. 4 cups of cooked chicken, shredded. And they suggested you use rotisserie chicken just to save time, which is what I did. 1 tablespoon of cumin. 1 tablespoon of chili powder. 1 teaspoon of garlic salt. And salt and pepper to taste. All you do, you put all that in a... this is going to make 8 to 12 servings. So you want to put it in a big
pan.
Depends
on who you're feeding.
Yeah, or how big your servings are. But you want to put this all in a pan. You can either put it in a crock pot if you want. And you can put it on low for 6 hours. Or you can put it all in a pan. A good size stock pan probably would be the best. That's what I made ours in. And boil it. When it starts to boil, then you're going to turn it down and let it cook for an hour. And that's it. Now when it's done, you have toppings to put on it. You have, if we didn't sit at the dinner table and have this. I haven't had any yet. Kelly's in, she's doing her homework. Cope is in here with me, so he had a bowl in here. But if we were
sitting, have another one too.
If we were sitting at the dinner table, I would also have bowls of toppings to put on it. And those toppings are shredded pepper jack cheese, tortilla chips, scallions, which are just green onions, basically.
We used to have an Appaloosa scallion, and he was ornery.
No, stallions.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And cilantro. Now, I just have to tell you something right now. I don't know if anyone doesn't like cilantro.
Pick me.
I know one guy that doesn't like cilantro, and I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, I can mess in his britches right now.
That is so ugly when you say that. Anyway, I don't understand people that don't like cilantro. I love cilantro.
I don't understand people who don't like mayonnaise. I love mayonnaise.
And I hate mayonnaise.
Uh-huh. So we'll get off of it, all right?
Passion. I have always hated mayonnaise my whole life. The smell, the taste, oh, it's nasty.
Well, it's like cilantro, huh?
No, it's a lot better than cilantro. But, I mean...
Yeah, it is, right.
No,
cilantro is much better.
Cilantro is a lot better than mayonnaise. Anyway... So that's the recipe. Now, and I will apparently put it on my blog tomorrow.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Even tonight would be great.
And
you can
I
work
will,
on it while I'm finishing
I
the
will,
show.
I'm a little bit too cold, so I have to go in the house.
How about we move the heater over there?
But I will get this on there, and I will also give you the address to my blog, how you can get to my blog when, okay, Sue?
It's either Hazel.
Sue or Suez. Stop right now.
See, I told you she's one of the family. Way to go, sis.
Anyway, you know what? Someone told me that the people that don't like cilantro is they have a you either like it or you hate it. You okay. like it or you love it. I mean, you love it or you hate it. I love it.
I hate it.
Cope hates it. Uh-huh. Both of my daughters love it. And actually, Cope and everyone in his family hate it. His kids hate it. So someone told me at a Mexican restaurant that we go to here that's a really good one, is they said that people that don't like cilantro usually have a high metal content in their system. And there's something in that that gives cilantro a different taste. Cope's son thinks that it, he says it tastes and smells like medicine. That's what he says. He can't stand it. And I
bought a fifth of medicine one time, and it wasn't all that bad.
I absolutely love it. But anyway, so there you go. That's the recipe. So I'm going to go ahead and attempt to put it on my blog. And you guys really should try it. It is this bowl that it's a good sized bowl that Cope had, and it's didn't last very long.
And this next one's not going to last any longer.
Anyway, Tampico Scout says that Sue is one of us. So there you go. So welcome. But I'm going to go. Cope's got some stuff to say, and he only has like 14 minutes or something. So.
I'm going to stay as long as I want to. I have control of the power switch. I'm going to stay till you bring me another bowl of that stuff. So.
Oh, I'm bringing it to you.
Well, yeah. You brought me that one, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was awesome.
B2 Basic loves cilantro, yes. Oh, it's good in lentil soup. Lentil soup is my favorite soup.
Without cilantro.
And I make it all the time, and I did not even think about putting cilantro in. I have to try it. I even like cilantro in salads.
You know, if you put it in there, I'll try it once. I always have.
Yeah.
I'll try it once, and if I don't like it, I won't eat it, but I will try it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't understand. You lived in New Mexico for so long, you don't like cilantro. That's like a staple.
Yeah, I don't like staples either. It's stuck between my teeth.
Okay, you know what? I'm leaving because either that or I'm going to slap him right off his chair. So, with that...
I'm going to bring you a sack lunch and a flashlight. You may be here for a while.
I won't be on tomorrow night. That's Mother Earth's time. She will be on tomorrow night. I will be on Thursday. So I will see you guys then. Have fun. And I will turn you over to Cope now.
We're just going to keep the tape rolling here and not start a separate show. So yeah. I'm just going to take over from here and call it good. Sue, you... You mentioned something that your uncle may have been concerned about your safety. You know, if you're concerned about someone's safety, that's no reason to not be part of the family anymore, or tell you you're not part of the family. That doesn't make any sense. I would guess that it was probably more political. I would think it sounds unreasonable to me that they'd be worried about your safety and then tell you you're not a member of the family anymore. But it's unfortunate. But everybody was right. It's his loss, and we'll take care of that for you. All right. I was talking to a guy today. I won't say who it was right now. A lot of you know him. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about what the future has in store. Hey, you like that up there?
Oh.
Did it work?
I thought you'd like it, so yeah, that's good. That's nice.
I just got to get a couple of straps or something put in the top of that because I don't want somebody to bump it and knock it off. But we were talking about what the future has in store and what is going on with militia.
Same thing with the cheese and the chips.
That was wonderful. Thank you. And the subject always comes up. You know, everybody that's in any type of a group or any type of, you know, what they want to call a militia or anything, they think they've got all the answers and they're going to be able to do this and do that. what it amounts to right now is that there is no leadership. There is no common goals, no plan, and it's probably going to remain that way until after the balloon goes up. There's not much way to do any, have any long, drawn-out, in-depth conversations. We don't have a green dragon anymore. Our green dragon is has cameras and listening devices everywhere, and in order to get any amount of people together and talk at all privately is a fantasy. So I see this being a major cluster here when it kicks off. They're as worried about it as we are. I mean, like, it ain't like I'm giving up any secrets here. Everybody knows what could very well happen in the not too distant future. It's just a matter of right now, I guess the ball's in their court for the time being. And we witnessed another deal, and we've seen this more than once, and that is the number of supposedly pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, supposed to be on our side organizations up in Washington that were, in fact, not on our side, that were... been sissified to the point that they have. You know, Alan Gottlieb was right up there in the midst of them. And this is the major, the monumental, gigantic problem that we have right now. Is there's just not enough people mad enough. There's just not enough Anthony Bosworths out there. There's an ever so small handful of people that know the law, know their rights, willing to assert that. And, you know, come hell or high water, rain or shine, whatever happens. And, with any luck, at some point in the not too distant future, maybe that will change. If not, then you can expect what you've been getting. What I'm afraid of is that if something doesn't take place sometime here before too awful long, that the Anthony Bosworths and the Cope Reynoldses and the Mike Vanderbos and the Bob Wrights will be quietly taken out, and that would create a slow things down a little bit if something doesn't start picking up here pretty quick. It's not that by any means that, you know, anything that happens is dependent on this type of people. It's just that there's not enough of this. How would I put that? Maybe that's not the right way to put it. Anyway, you know how I get when I start thinking about this stuff. I get all Twitter-pated and get to where I can't talk because I get flustered about things. But everything we witnessed some things without being able, without saying anything that I shouldn't. We did witness some events in Washington that confirmed beyond any doubt that if they want to listen to us, they will listen to us. If they want to listen to your phone or through your computer, we found out that that is a it is an easy task for them to accomplish. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Matter of fact, I have a friend that said he was talking about a group of wannabe militia folks that had a wanted to have an open line of communication with the FBI. A friend of mine said the other day, "Yeah, if I want an open line of communication, I'll just tell them call me. Ain't like you don't have my number." And that's a fact. So so it's gonna be tough. And T Dog, buddy, I love you, brother. Thank you for putting that up there. That is my all time favorite quote when we're talking about this kind of stuff. It's by Mark Twain. "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." Ain't that right?
That is right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, once we take all the risks and make all the sacrifices, then everybody wants to be a patriot. Be too basic, I know that. Thank you. Yeah, everybody wants to be a patriot. What do you call it? One of the little signs going around on the internet says everybody wants to be a patriot until it comes time to do patriot stuff. And that's right. You see that in the militia. If you have a field exercise with the militia, then let's say we've planned this 6 weeks in advance, then birthdays and anniversaries and dirty garages and motorbike races and pool tournaments and bowling league and horse shows and all that crap comes to a screeching halt. If you have an exercise planned, you need to get out there and do it. If you're not training, you are of no value. You either take this seriously or just move out of the way. Just get out. Go on. Well, there's way too much of this kind of stuff that we could spend lots and lots of time on this. And we probably should and probably will. You know, I'm thinking that, by the way, I forgot to remind everyone that Thursday, David Kodria is going to be on the show, probably for just about the duration of the show, with the exception of the first little bit. Don't miss that show. David Kodria and Mike Vanderbo are the ones that broke the Fast and Furious story. David Kodria has a great blog out there. He's a great writer, and carved in stone patriot there. So, since I'm getting so flustered and can't talk very good or very well, I'll be back.
Greetings from Anonymous. The United States government is seeking to end the Constitution. This will endanger the American people, and we will not stand by and watch while this government of deception prepares to rip away from us all of the freedoms that our forefathers granted us. The freedoms that were fought for, bled for, that our ancestors died for. We must ensure that blood was not shed in vain, that their lives were indeed lost for a great nation that is not yet lost. We refuse to let the United States government destroy our way of life. The United States government insists on labeling us as terrorists. The question is, who do we terrorize? Is it probable that the United States government is truly afraid of we, the people? Nevertheless, the time for action is now. It is time to remind the government that we, the American people, are the ones who hold the power of this country, not them. The American people have realized that the current government is no longer functional. Our economy is unstable, our representatives incooperative, and our system destroyed. We are not calling upon the collective to deface or use a distributed denial of service attack on a United States government agency website or affiliate. We are not calling upon the people to once again occupy a city or protest in front of a local building. This has not brought on us any legislative change or alternate law. It has only brought us bloodshed and false criticism. For the last 12 years, voting has been useless. Corporations and lobbyists are the true leaders of this country and are the ones with the power to control our lives. To rebuild our government, we must first destroy it. Our time for democracy is here. Our time for resolution is here. This is America's time for revolution. To restore our constitutional rights. To once again be free. Therefore, Anonymous, along with the American people, have decided to openly declare war on the United States government. This is a call to arms. We call upon the citizens of the United States to stand beside us in overthrowing this corrupted body and call upon a new era. We refuse to be police state. We refuse to be brutalized and dehumanized by the very people our tax dollars fund to protect our cities and streets. We will not allow the government to control our destiny, our right to build a life for ourselves. We demand freedom from government control, taxation, repossession, and death. You will not come to our doors and take our guns, our property. You will not force the citizens of this great country to participate in the unlawful act of government-mandated health care. We the people refuse to put in your control our health, our bodies, our minds, our lives. We will not grant permission for the government to deploy drones over our homes and communities. We must end the Federal Reserve. A private central bank should not issue our currency, set interest rates, and run our economy. Rather, we need to return control over the currency to the American people where it belongs. You, the United States government, have overstepped your privileges for the last time. Our peaceful actions, patience, and restraint have been demonstrated as we watched and waited for our Congress and representatives to speak for the American citizens and protect us from the tyrant that sits in the Oval Office and happily strips the American people of our rights, one by one, executive order by executive order. We have waited long enough. The Declaration of Independence establishes the supremacy of the people and the right and duty to defend the rights of the people over the acts of the government. Our Constitution provides for as many protections as possible to ensure that the government is subservient to the people and only exists for the purpose of serving the people. However, should these protections fail, it is up to the people to rise up against the government and to put the government back in its place. In this capacity, the people act as the fourth branch of government to take control and to override their decisions that violate the fundamental rights of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By what means do the people exercise their authority over the government? That depends on how resistant the government is to complying with the will of the people. In the case of the Declaration of Independence, it meant declaring war on the government and overthrowing them. This is obviously a last resort after taking other steps less harsh. Have we not tried? It is clearly the right and the duty of the American people to overthrow the government in order to restore the United States as a government to serve the people. This is clearly established in historical precedent. This is that time. We have exhausted every other option. Our government has ignored us. We must take action to ensure our freedoms. When the government violates the Constitution, it is the duty of the people to rise up against the government to bring them back into compliance with the Constitution. Our allegiance is not to the government. Our allegiance is to the American people, because they are us, and we are them. We the people have both the power and the responsibility to maintain our government in a manner that best serves the people in the pursuit of life, liberty, freedom, and the citizens of America. You are not alone. There are millions beside you. You will know when it's time. When the government attacks your words, we fight with voice. When the government attacks your guns, we fight with our weapons. To the Small Arms Treaty, you will not remove the Second Amendment on July 27, 2012. We are anonymous. We are Americans. We never forgive, we never forget. We will fight for our rights. To the United States government, it's too late to expect us. Operation American Freedom engaged.
You know, Anonymous has got some pretty good stuff out there. I don't know everything I know about them, but they've got some pretty good sound bites out there. I'm going to back up here a little bit in the chat room, and I got a couple of comments here for some posts here. B2 Basic, you said you've lost close friends because of your stance. No, sweetheart, that's not what happened at all. You made close friends. You lost fair weather friends. What you lost was, at one point in your life, maybe you thought they were close friends. If you lost them because of your stance, no. But you have made some, I promise you. Yakima Glock, you say the weight keeps coming off. Lost another 7 pounds. And then further on down here a little bit, what was it you said? Let's see here. Did I pass it up? Oh, he said he still got a long way to go to be in shape, but every week you gain ground. I tell you what, 7 pounds is a pretty good bite. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be wrong about this, if I am, don't hesitate to correct me. But I think that you and maybe one other here may have started taking this serious, started doing it after a show where we talked about that, and I mentioned the fact that. There was another guy. He's not listening tonight. I did talk to him on the phone today. That would go and buy thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff. God, he bought all the latest, greatest tactical ninja warrior stuff on everything you see in Guns and Ammo and SWAT magazine. Every time a new one come out, he'd go buy it. But he was way, way overweight. And I finally pulled him off the side one day. I said, you know what? You are a liability to your wife. You're going to die because you can't run 100 yards out here with all this damn gear you got. Everybody thought you were going to die. I thought you was having a heat stroke. Shut down the whole operation trying to make sure you were safe. So you're going to die. And your wife's going to be left alone. I said, you need to quit buying all this crap and spend some time working out. Well, I must have hit a nerve because he looks good right now. He's been really pounding it out, went on a diet. He is extremely faithful and loyal to this diet. And I don't remember what it is, but he's really sticking to it, and he has knocked off 40. Well, when we saw him here about a month ago,
He'd lost 40 pounds. And he is really, I am so proud of him. He's taking it serious. When you don't, you are a liability to your family. And the worst part of it is, if you're trying, that's one thing. If you won't even admit it to yourself and won't try, then that's another. But I think that there's been... I did this, we talked to this about this to another guy. Oh, it was back during the Watchman days. There was a guy that was, and unfortunately he has since died. But we was talking about smoking. And I reamed him one night on the show, singled him out and wore him out. And in a couple of days, two or three or four days later, he come on there on the show and said, "You know what, Cope, you've shamed me into throwing them away." And he did, or he said he did. Said he threw them away, and just in a matter of a few days, said it was a little tough getting started, but he's feeling better and all this. Now he died from complications from other things that probably was complicated by smoking, and that's unfortunate. He was a good guy, and I'm sorry to hear that it went that way. But, you know, if you've got vices of any kind, this is going to be a problem for you. It doesn't... No, C7, that was not Fix It, Dad. He died too. He never smoked, to my knowledge. But unfortunately, he died from some very weird complications from other stuff. Had nothing to do with smoking. And that was another damn sure carved in stone patriot there. But unfortunately, he had some things that just he couldn't recover from. So... hopefully you guys will think about this. It doesn't matter what your vice is. If something has, it can be chocolate, it can be tobacco, it can be alcohol, it could be some other type of drug or something. And if you are to a point where you can't just say, "All right, I'm not going to do it anymore," and walk away from it, then it's got a hold of you. It's a problem. There are some things that are habitual that are not necessarily what I would call addictive or habit forming. There's others that are very much very dangerous that get a hold of a person and won't turn loose. And with some people, that's eating. With some people, it is definitely sweets or chocolate. And anyway, long story short, Yakima Glock, very proud of you. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And I expect it's going to be another 3 months before I make it up there. I'm anxious to see you. I saw the pictures from before, and I am very anxious to see how you're doing, so keep it up. But if you want to be a member of a team, if you want to be a liability to your team, to your family, then it's certainly something to think about. I'm going to try to recite a story here a little bit. And I probably won't get it all right, but it'll be close enough for what we're doing tonight. And it goes along with the thing we were talking about earlier, that I was talking about earlier, about, you know, if something happens, you're going to have to tell your family, "I love you, I've done everything for you," and you're going to have to walk away. And this friend had been called to, I can't say too much without giving it away here, but he was called to do a to be a spokesman for a very important, very large deal that had to do with it was a Patriot type thing. Or I shouldn't say Patriot. I should say political. Invitations have been printed out. Everything had been all the reservations made. Everything's good. Well, a family member, well, it was his mother, was about to die. So literally on her deathbed. And being the loving, faithful son that he is, he's tried to find somebody to take this for him because his mother was doing bad and quite likely that she was going to go before he got done with this deal and then he wouldn't get to see her again. So he found a guy. And okay, I got it. You betcha. I'll take up slack for you. So this guy says, okay, this is good. I got nothing to worry about. I can go be with my mother. Well, literally, well, it was either on the day or the day before of this meeting, this organizational thing. The guy called and said something to the effect of you know, there's not going to be that many people there or whatever. You know, I'd just call it off. I can't make it. And my friend, my acquaintance here said, are you kidding me? Really? He said, they've got all the plans made, all the stuff printed, everything. You've got to be kidding me. And so here he is, stuck between a rock and a hard spot, wondering, what am I going to do? I've got this obligation, but I have a bigger obligation to my mother. So he's pondering this, and he goes in to where his mother's at. She's out front, literally dying at that moment. And she called him over there, and I can't use the pet name that she called him, but because it'll be more information than you need. But she said, you know what? My daddy, and I forgot what the year was, and my daddy went to the war with the Italians or whatever, and there was, you know, so many kids at home, and it was just, you know, the kids and mother and all, and my dad went to war and didn't come back until the Italians were beat. My husband, your father went when I don't remember all the dates and times or anything, but anyway, he left in 1940 something and didn't come back for a couple of years, and he didn't come back until the Germans were beat. And she said, right now you have an obligation. You told me a long time ago that we're in a war, and I expect you to get your ass down there and do your duty in this war. She said, I'm going to die whether you're here or not. We've spent a lot of time together recently and all that. She says, your being here is not going to make it any easier or any better. You have to do what you have to do. And so he did. He made it there in time and put on. Now, he also said, now this guy has a, it's kind of like that deal I just played a while ago, that little speech that I made there. It wasn't a speech, it was just an impromptu thing I said during a radio show years ago. He has a tremendous feeling that he is here for a reason, that he is inspired, that he is that his God has put him here for a particular purpose. And I feel that way for most of us that are in this, that are serious, that are in this movement. He said when he was done with that speech, he said he's not a speech writer, he's not a speech giver, which he is. I've heard him talk several times and he does well. And it was grossly, how should I put it, top heavy on liberals and stuff. And the other guy that he was debating with, everybody thought that he was probably going to be the winner. When this guy got done, his opponent in this debate told him, said, you know what? I think I just got my ass handed to me. And he sat on one side of the room, and my acquaintance went on the other side of the room. He sat there, and everybody in there flocked around him because of the way that he presented this. And he feels, and I believe him, that that the Lord was with him, and that it was important that this was this message was relayed properly, that it was presented in such a way that it would get the point across, and it did. And the agenda, whatever it was that they were voting on, passed in his favor with flying colors. You know. If you guys have been watching the news here lately, well, today. Remember, Amy talked just yesterday about the 18-month-old baby that hung for upside down in the car seat for 14 hours, it just above the freezing cold water. Mother long since dead. What do you think that the Lord wasn't with that kid? Well, if you watch the latest newscast there, and I hope Amy caught that today. There were some firefighter rescue workers there, and they were about to give up, just, you know, get a chain on it and pull the car out of there. And all of the people that were working there heard the voice. Wait. Don't leave me. Help me. All of them said they heard it plain as day. And they put on an extra effort to go in there and found that baby alive. Mother long since dead. The mother didn't say that and then die. She'd been dead for a while since impact. And they heard that voice and went and saved that baby. The gal on Fox News said, you know what? We try to be fair and balanced and give you all the facts of things and reasons for things happening. She said, sometimes you just have to leave room for something else. And that something else is going to be the only thing that that gets us through this. You don't have to be a Bible thumper, but you're going to have faith. Faith is going to go a long ways towards getting us through this. And I think that the faith of the opposition will be broken. And I C7, buddy, I have a tremendous degree of faith. And I think that that baby is not going to grow up and get killed in a car wreck when she's 7. She's not going to go out. There's something. I think that baby has a purpose in life other than life itself. And I wish well, I could probably find out the baby's name. I don't know. I'd like to follow this on for, you know, 25 years and see what she turns into. But, of course, no chance of me remembering that long or anything. But anyway, be an interesting story, nevertheless. Okay, a little bit of good news. And I suspected that this would be the case. And that is the ATF has backed off of the M855 ban. It is not going to happen now. It's over and done with. And I suspected that would be the case. But is there something else that they will do soon? Of course there is. Quite naturally, you know there is. They never give up. We never give up. That's just part of... Sorry, Ziva. That's it's part of what we do. It's a never-ending cycle, and it's going to be that way until something is done about it. Whether it's done through the political process, I can tell you that it's not going to be done out of the goodness of their heart. I can promise you that. Unless we just give up and let them do their thing, this is going to be this way for the rest of our life. They're going to take a great big bite, and we're going to make them spit part of it out. But they're going to keep a taste. And that's the way it's been for forever. Particularly since the 1930s. So, I would like to think that up until now we've tried every conceivable means of petitions and voting and all this stuff, and we're not making it. I don't know. Yakima Glock, we could, it's not just the 5.45 of 39 and 7.62 of 39. There is a ban on that, goes way back into the 80s, and it's armor piercing ammo that could be used in a handgun. Now, since this ban was put in place, there's a lot of guns that are now in handguns. Now, they have defined, that they've eliminated, I think, the contenders and stuff, the single shot. Now, that does, it still includes the, take this, the Remington XP100 or the Savage, whatever it was. What'd they call that, Savage? It was kind of like the XP100. Didn't last very long. Anyway, any of those that are magazine fed, bolt action, whatever, those are included. Any ammunition that fits those will be in that band. So it is illegal. It's not just 7.62 by 39 and 5.45 by 39. It's 357 Magnum. It's 38 Special. It's 44 Special. It's 9mm. It's any AP round that goes routinely, is designed for use in a handgun, is included in that ban. So if we're going to get those two calibers that you mentioned freed up, then we need to get all the rest of them too. The whole thing needs to be overturned. So far, except in... what the hell's his name? We were just talking about him a while ago. Well, I'll be damned. Who's the lethal weapon guy? He was in the Patriot too. I can't believe I can't remember that. That's what happens when I spend all day driving and dash in here and try to do a show. But Anyway, except on that show, there hasn't been any cops killed with cop killer bullets, with armor-piercing bullets out of a handgun. It's all a make-believe deal that they've pulled out of thin air and forced upon us, and it means nothing. They have nothing to stand on other than pure Mel Gibson, thank you, writes a risk. Jeez, what a dummy. It's nothing but pure evil, pure emotion, pure speculation. It means nothing. So, anyway. All right. Well, we've managed to go. Let me check here. What is this? I've got a couple of things have come in here that I need to check on and make sure that I don't need to share something with you. I know I do have several things that I need to share with you, but we kind of got off on a tangent tonight. Had a good time with Amy. I always do. We always have such fun. It's so good to see her laugh. And when we're doing this, it's a lot of fun being here with her. So we kind of steered away here from what I had planned, but that's okay because I had fun, and I hope you guys did too. She won't be in tomorrow. I will be day after tomorrow. She'll be here, and I still will be. And Thursday, David Kodria is going to be in here, probably for the majority of the show. We may even run a little bit long. There ain't no telling what all we'll cover. I know we'll talk about this band. I know we'll have a little bit of talk just briefly on Fast and Furious. I know that we'll talk about the goings-on up in Washington. And David Kodria is a very, very articulate, very knowledgeable, very good writer. And I haven't had him on the show for probably 3 years. Maybe even close to 4 years. So it'll be good to have him back in here again. So anyway, I'm going to Roger, I believe that. I have had things like that happen. Let me tell you what happened. Roger said that 25 years ago God prepared him for the times that we're going into right now. And he was living by faith. They can tell you, let's see, I can tell you of being in his will and watching a car fix a broken. Not sure. Watching a car fix a broken head gasket. Well, anyway, I've seen something like that happen. Amy and I. This was before Amy, a long time ago. I left Wyoming, and I may have even told you this story, but left there and moving to Arizona, moving to over by Flagstaff. And I was broke. I had a job waiting for me when I got here, but I had to get here. Had everything I owned on two trailers. Two flatbed trailers. And one of them weighed 11,400 pounds. The other one weighed 10,800 pounds. Pulled them both down here with 3/4-ton pickups. Or one with 3/4-ton Suburban and a 3/4-ton pickup. Four-wheel drives. The tires on one of the trailers, well, both of them wasn't all that great. But one of them was really dry-rotted and checked and cracked. And I said, I have no big hopes for making it down there. What was it, something like 1,300 miles? I was going from Wyoming to Arizona. I think it was 1,300 miles, I don't remember. And we pushed it hard, didn't stop in the heat of the summer. Well, it was September. And we made it all the way down there, backed up in the driveway of the house that we rented. As a matter of fact, we rented it that day. We got there and found a house, rented it that day, backed the trailer up in the yard, Now, of course, I left out an important part. I said a very earnest and sincere prayer before I left Wyoming. And I prayed primarily over those tires. And got in there, backed up to the house. Went in there and took in just a suitcase, whatever I needed just for the night. Got up the next morning, went outside, and two of the tires, the driver's side tires on that trailer, were flat, sitting in the driveway. So I'm pretty sure that that was not just coincidence, if you know what I mean.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.